Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the everlasting King forever. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Worship you, Jesus. Sufficiency. The abundance of our soul, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I worship you. Praise you forever. You are abundantly more than enough, my righteous, righteous, mighty King. You are more than enough. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Repeat after me. Say, Father.
Father.
You are.
You are.
Through Jesus Christ.
Through Jesus Christ.
Through His stripes.
Through His stripes.
You're more than enough.
More than enough.
You're abundantly more.
You're abundantly more.
Than enough.
Than enough.
I've been healed.
I've been healed.
From A.
From A.
To Z.
To Z.
No problems.
No problems.
No strife.
No strife.
No anxiety.
No anxiety.
No poverty.
No poverty.
I've been healed.
I've been healed.
By your stripes.
By your stripes.
No longer.
No longer.
Am I barren?
Am I barren?
No longer.
No longer.
Am I lonely?
Am I lonely?
Depressed.
Depressed.
I'm full.
I'm full.
I'm full.
I'm full.
I'm abundantly full.
Abundantly full.
Of you, Jesus.
Of you, Jesus.
You pave the way.
You pave the way.
You live inside of me.
You live inside of me.
You are more than enough.
You are more than enough.
More than enough.
More than enough.
Not another.
Not another.
Miserable day.
Miserable day.
Not another.
Not another.
Miserable day.
Miserable day.
I have been. Born again.
Born again.
The foundation. Has been laid.
Has been laid.
Purity.
Purity.
Resides within me.
Resides within
me. I have been born again.
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 I am more.
I am more.
Than a conqueror.
Than a conqueror.
I am super.
I am super.
Victorious.
Victorious.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
You are more than enough.
You are more than
hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Blessed be the name of the
hallelujah,
Lord.
Jesus.
Blessed be the everlasting King. Hallelujah.
Thank you,
yes.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I really feel that with all my heart this evening. Blessed be the Lord. Give me a little medley. Madam, I'm going to prayer for a couple of people. Hallelujah. I worship you, my King. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You are worthy, Jesus. You're abundantly more than enough. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord. He's worthy. He's worthy of all praise and all glory and honor. His word is so powerful. It is so powerful. We've been having some good times lately on Sunday night with our youth, and got a lot of positive feedback from Sunday morning. Let me tell you something. As soon as I got done Sunday morning, every torment from A to Z, everything that I have been healed of, and I'm going to change what I said about Satan and his suggestions. He just flat out brings accusations far more than a suggestion. And everything that I claim that I am healed from, he came from A to Z. As soon as I got done preaching Sunday morning, till Monday morning, even when I preached Sunday night to the youth, I was under so much of a bombardment from him and my emotions that it was funny to me. But he came to test my ground. He came to test it. And he was on me. He came and he badgered me for like 24 straight hours. But I'm still here. I'm here. And by his stripes, I've been healed. I've been healed. Just because I feel something don't mean I'm not healed from it. It's called an emotion that has to be overcome. For every time he accuses me of having a weakness, there's a stripe on the back of Jesus Christ that says I do not have that weakness. I might have had it at one time, but he bore that weakness on his body. He carried it for me and for you. So when accusations come, remember, Jesus Christ bore that accusation from Satan on his back. For me and for you, we can walk free from strife from offense, from backbiting, from depression. We're healed. We were healed. We were healed. The day you gave your life to Jesus Christ, you were healed. I cannot say that that is working in me so mightily. I feel it. I dream it. I sleep it. When I walk, I think about it. It's the beginning of a great work He's going to do in my heart. I feel it. I feel it. There's something that I can't get into that I've been confessing. I told my wife today, as soon as we come to church, there's something I've been confessing in my body, and I can feel it working. Not only can I feel it by faith working, but I see it working. I claim when I'm in my closet, I say, "You are my response. You are my soft answer to everything. You are my wisdom in business. You are the lover of my soul. You are my sufficiency. I make business decisions through you, Jesus. You are everything I could ever need. You are my medication. You are my best friend. You are my counselor. You are the Prince of Peace. You are everything that I could ever need." And then, after you're done with me supplying what I need, you supply the nations, Jesus. That's who you are. See, by your stripes, we were healed 2,000 years ago. I've learned recently, this last week or two, if things aren't going right, there's one of two things are happening. I'm in a trial, or I'm not obeying the inner witness. One of the two. Either I'm going through a trial because I'm walking in integrity, or I'm not obeying the inner witness. I seem to think that it's the latter, that I'm not obeying the inner witness somewhere. I'm doing something wrong. And I'm not listening to that law of liberty giving me instruction at work, in my life, with my children. If something's going wrong consistently in my life, I don't have the right to lift up my hands in heaven and say, "Why, God? No, 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 no." Because the Bible says a man that listens to the inner witness is blessed in all that he does. In all that he does. So either it's a trial, which it could be, or I'm not listening to the unction. One of the things that the Lord had been dealing with me for a year is my second to the oldest child, Julissa. Little Julie's going to be 17 years old in 2 months. She had a boyfriend, or still does to an extent, that at first was serving Jesus. For the last year, he's played in and out the church. He really hadn't given much to Christ. I broke it off. Now, what she does behind my back, I can't control it. But faith, conviction without works, the Greek says it's useless. So what I was to do a year ago, I did the other day. I said, "Let me tell you one thing, young lady. I love you with all my heart. I have nothing wrong with that young man. I love him to death. He has no intention on serving Jesus Christ. First of all, you're not going to give him a ride anymore. You're not going to go to the movies with him. Period. If he wants to come here and sit down and be your friend, he can talk to me and you will be his friend. But this is stopping right here, right now." She looked at me and Christ said, "I know, Daddy, you're right." Now what she does behind my back, I can't control that. But I'm not going to dig her grave. I'm not going to dig it. Just to make her happy. That was hard. But faith or conviction without works is useless. It's that same principle that we're to apply daily in everything that we do. See, we abide by the inner witness. That's what we live by. And that hurt me to do it. A young man talked to me the other day and we talked. I said, "There's nothing against you, son. I want you to make it. I'm looking out for my daughter as a father and as a pastor, as a man of God. I'm going to raise her right. I'm not going to dig her grave. Slowly but surely. Slowly, but to make her happy, I'm not going to do it. Even if it was at the expense of her getting mad at me, she will not have my blessing on that relationship. If the young man was to repent, give his life to, or not, I believe he's born again. I believe he's hanging on by a thread. But I do believe there's conviction in there. If he wants to get his life straight with Jesus Christ, We'll sit down and talk about it. But faith or conviction without works is useless. How can I pray for her if I'm allowing it? How can I have no legal and spiritual right to go before God's throne for that young lady involved in a relationship with a kid that's an unbeliever. It's in vain. It's in vain. And I say all that to get to what I'm going to teach tonight about faith or conviction. Faith without works, it's useless. It's fruitless. Nothing good happens. Amen? The word of God is powerful if it's handled properly. I had to correct myself because I've always said that, and I'm sure many of you will agree with me before I go on to the book of James a little bit, that you can have a revelation of something and still not do it. See, I don't agree with me no more on that, because if you still do what you think you had a revelation of, it was never a revelation to begin with. Because once you comprehend something, you won't walk away from it. I mean, to a T, when it's part of you. Now, there's scriptures that I can remember and that I remember here and I know here that aren't a part of me yet. But there are certain parts of the scripture that are real to me. One thing that's completely real to me is that it's never anybody else's fault in life. I've come to the conclusion that if there's failure in my life, it's because of me. There's something in me that's failing. You are not my problem. Nobody in here is my problem, regardless of the circumstance. I've come to that conclusion that nobody is my problem. When something is real to you and it's a revelation to you, you're going to walk in it. If you don't walk in it, it's not quite a revelation yet. So I'm beginning to barely touch that His stripes have made me complete. And I'm beginning to touch the faith without works message. I'm starting to comprehend it and understand it. Faith, or you can replace faith with the word conviction, without works is useless. It's in vain. When? In life. In general. We'll go on to more about that in a little bit. So if you got your Bible, turn to the book of James real quick. James chapter 1 and verse 19. Again, we're talking about faith. Or you could change out the word faith and put the word conviction. Change it out. Well, actually, that's what it means. James chapter 1, verse 19. Now, faith has been in James, in the text, in James, in line with James. Faith is not what you would think it would mean. Faith in the book, according to the book of James, is not that mountain moving faith that you have to raise the dead. Although it's a fruit of it. Faith in the book of James is completely different than what the corporate body of Christ has defined it. It's totally different. The Bible says in James chapter 1 verse 19, it says, "So then, my beloved brethren." If he says beloved brethren, would you be convinced that he's talking to believers? Absolutely. "So then, my beloved brethren." Well, let's go back to 18. I'm sorry. "Of his own will, he brought us forth," or the Greek can be said, "we've been begotten. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." Now, if we've been begotten by the word of truth, or the word, now you gotta listen carefully to this now. This is years of meditating this book. Years. I'm talking about years. Years and years. If I'm begotten or born again by the word of truth, the word of reconciliation, was the word internal or external to me before I got born again? If I wasn't born again, something led me to the cross. What led me to the cross was the word of truth. Therefore, it wasn't internal, but it was an external truth. The external truth was that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. The word of truth, external. It was preached to us. It came to me at 5 o'clock in the morning. I don't know how many years ago, but I received an external truth. The external truth had been piercing my heart, been piercing my mind. "Give your life to Jesus, boy." So I received that external truth. Somebody was praying for me. that I'd give my life to Jesus. I received an external truth. I received the word of truth. When I said, Jesus, you are the Son of God, an external truth became what? An internal truth. Now, the first external truth that I ever believed about God brought forth fruit. It caused me to be generated and to be born of God, born of Him. External truth, Jesus, you are the Son of God. I receive it. Boom, I'm born again. The external truth becomes an internal truth, or James says in the King James, the engrafted word. So something lies within me. The word of truth begot me, born again. The word of truth in me became internal, engrafted, living in me forever. You with me? That's pretty simple stuff. 18, of his own will, he brought us forth. By the way, I read the New King James. I don't read King James. I got a million different Bibles, but I like the New King James. But I use a King James in a linear, so basically the same thing. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. What we're looking for here tonight in this quick lesson is the power of having faith finished off with works. It's vital. This is our lifestyle. This is how we grow. This is how we prosper. This is how we make it through trials and tribulations. I thought for sure my daughter was going to be upset at me. If she was, it was going to be for a season, but it went well. It went well. It felt good to know. It felt good to know that I obeyed the voice of my father, handling of my daughter's relationship. Now, if she chooses to disobey daddy's wisdom, that's on her. That's on her. I've done my part obeying the law of liberty. The law of liberty means the law that brings liberty to the situation. Remember that. When he says the law of liberty, the Greek says it's the law that brings liberty to a situation. So hopefully what I did in the spirit will bring her liberty to her relationship with this young man. Outside of obedience to the law that brings liberty, she's in trouble. It's powerful, Ralph, to obey the inward. That is our life, man. That is why we live. We're blessed in every trial and every tribulation, because there's something in us that leads us through that trial and leads us through that tribulation. And it is the engrafted word of the Almighty God. It had enough power to... It begot me. I received an external truth, received an internal, and that's my sufficiency to make it in life. Listen to this now. Faith without works is dead, is what we're after. 19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Now, what begot me, what caused me to be born again, was the word of truth. An external truth, Amber, that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. I received it. His word, Logos, was deposited in my spirit. I had to hear it first and obey it and confess it for it to be truth in my life that Jesus Christ was the Son of the living God. So then the word became alive in me. It was deposited in me because I obeyed an external truth. Now listen to this. Something that's in me now. Something that leads me through trials and tribulations and through the everyday ordeals of this world. He says, so then, my beloved brother, let every man be swift to hear. Let every man be swift to hear. Let every man be swift to hear. What do you think he wants in context here? What do you think the writer is telling me and you to be swift to hear? The what? The internal truth that used to be external. So then, to an extent, we have absolutely no excuse, because the external truth that made me a son of God now lives inside of me. Now, James said, external truth, born again. Now there's an internal truth in word inside of you. And I want you to be swift to hear the internal truth, or the engrafted word that's inside of you. During when? During a trial. That's what this whole book is about. He said, there's something powerful that indwells you, and it's called the engrafted word. And by the way, I want you to be swift to hear. Why would he say swift? Why would he say, I want you to be swift to hear? the word of truth that's inside of you. Because, my friends, it's a whisper. It's not persistent like the devil's voice that wants to come and torment. He's going to whisper it. It's going to be there. It's going to be mellow. It's going to be there. You should be swift to hear the engrafted word that will lead you out of that trial. Be swift to hear it. It's there. And the external truth was what bore you again. You've been born again. The external truth and the external word now lives inside of you. I want you to be swift to hear my instruction. Then he said in 19, and slow to speak and slow to wrath. He said, in the trial of your life, he said, I want you to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Verse 20, for the wrath of man, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Verse 20, for the wrath of man does not produce, or the Greek says, work out the righteousness of God. External truth, I received it, I'm born again. External truth, external word lives inside of me, it's engrafted, it is the word of truth. What comes out of our spirit, according to this text, according to the book of James? He said, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So what comes out of our spirit according to what I just told you? Righteousness. He said, there's one thing that you have to do to know that you'll make it in the trials of this world. I want you to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man, it does not work out the righteousness of God that comes out of your spirit. You got to be quick to listen to it, swift to listen to it, and slow to wrath. What's he mean? Slow to wrath. What does he mean by that? He said, for the wrath of man, it does not work out. It does not work out the righteousness of God that he wants me and you to hear out of our spirit. He wants me to listen to what's in there. What's in there, he called it righteousness. But just because it comes out of my spirit doesn't mean that I'm going to do it. So we complain in life. We can't understand why things are going the way they're going. But righteous instruction came out of me and you. It came out. Were we swift to hear? Were we swift to hear when an opportunity arose? Were we swift to hear our daddy say, no, son, that's not a good deal? Were we swift to hear him give us the instruction about the potential client? Were we swift to hear the word of the Almighty God? See, what we heard was his righteousness in us, leading us in the right direction. So it's not his fault at all when things go bad in our life. He said, for the wrath of man, it does not work out or produce the righteousness of God. Now we're going to talk about what the wrath of man is. For the wrath of man does not work out or produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, according to what I just said, verse 21, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. It comes out. I had a choice, my friends, and I use this as an example because it's teaching me a lot. I had a choice. I had a choice, and it might not mean nothing to you, but to me it meant the life of my daughter, of being led in the wrong direction. Righteousness lies within me. It lies within you. It's engrafted, and it's meant to be dispensed. It's meant to come out of our spirit to lead me and you in the right direction. Sometimes we don't want to do what he wants us to do, but he knows what's best for my family. He knows what's best for my daughter. Now, whether I choose to disannul his righteousness in my spirit is completely up to me. He said, for the wrath of man, it does not produce or work out the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. I love my kids too much to approve of something bad in their life. I couldn't go back 3 years from now and lifted up my hands towards heaven when the Lord Jesus Christ gave me instruction 4 years ago on how to handle a situation with my daughter. Because righteousness was dispersed out of my spirit to instruct me on how to raise my child. See, faith or conviction without works is dead. Conviction came out. It's one thing for it to come out. It's for our purpose. It's for our benefit. It's another thing to receive that conviction or that righteousness with meekness. How do we receive it with meekness? Okay, Daddy, I hear your instruction. I hear it. I receive it with meekness. When I hear his instruction, I apply his instruction and I apply it to the situation. That, my friends, is how faith with works produces much. But faith or conviction without works, if I would have heard what to do in that situation, I would have a right 4 years from now to complain about a certain path that my daughter took with my approval. Again, I reiterate, I can't control what she does behind my back. But my hands would have been extremely clean of her lifestyle. Would have received every instruction out of that born-again spirit with meekness, knowing that we'll be blessed in all that we do if me and you can apply his integrity, his righteousness from within. There's something engrafted inside of us that can lead us and prosper us no matter what the situation is, no matter what trial or tribulation we go through. If we listen to that engrafted word through the word of truth and we listen, we hear it first. And somebody said once, well, I don't hear the word, I do the word. Well, you can't do what you can't hear. So you got to hear first, and when you hear, then you'll do. We have all that we need inside of our spirit to lead us in the right direction. 3 or 4 months ago, I went to the Lord. I said, Jesus, there's something that I'm annoyed at life, Lord. Well, some of you might say, well, Pastor Omar, I thought you said you prayed and you read and meditated. Well, I did. That's why I got to that point in my life. Why? This might not be nothing for you, but to me, it's the hardest thing in the world to embrace people, to embrace them and to hug them. I would rather much less 4 months ago run away from you, go the other way, than have you put your arms on me. It might be funny to an extent, but that was my accusation from Satan that I've been healed. That is the hardest thing in the world to do, and I hated it. It bothered me. Do you know why it bothered me? Do you know why I was miserable? Even praying those hours, meditating. Do you know why I was unhappy and miserable? I'm talking about righteousness. I'm talking about the engrafted word. I'm talking about righteousness coming out of my spirit. Do you know why I looked unhappy all those years? Faith without works is useless. If I hated to hug you, if I hated to embrace you, what do you think he was telling me to do inside of me? Huh? To embrace you. To hug you. And to love. That's why I was so miserable, because I was going against the precious law of liberty. He knew what I struggled with. So he gave me the answer. You got a hard time hugging people? Well, guess what, son? Hug them. But I went against it for years. There's no happiness in going against the law that brings liberty. So I said, Lord, something's wrong in my life. I need an adjustment. These are my brothers and my sisters. All of them are. Take me to that pasture where I can feed and grow and go out of this mess that I'm in. Psalms 52 through 56. It taught me about the power of his stripes. It taught me that I was not barren anymore. That I could take my stakes, extend my tent, and grow and prosper because I was born again. He took me there and I stayed there night after night after night after night after night, tongue after tongue after tongue after tongue, receiving His wisdom for me to change me, to have Him mold and mend me into what He wanted me to do. I'm telling you, my friends, it's getting so much easier now. I'm just touching the stripes. I'm just touching them. I've just allowed Him. I think it's false doctrine to say God's doing the work in me. He's wanted to do this work in me years ago. I just finally allowed myself to have Him work in me through His Word. I'm telling you, my friends, faith or conviction without works is useless. I would walk around here continually going against the precious law of liberty. Greek, the law that brings liberty. Do you know how good it feels now? My Lord, my Father has been trying to instruct me for years. Brace your brother. You know how good it feels to hug somebody? You know why it feels good? Not because, I mean, yeah, I love what I, yeah, I love her, but you know why it feels good? You know why it finally feels good to hug my brother and to embrace him according to what I'm teaching you right now? Do you know why it feels good? Somebody give it a shot. Because I'm obeying the law that brings liberty. That's why it feels good. You can't walk around in a good mood disobeying the Almighty God. It's called unrighteousness. No matter what the situation is. Me and Jimmy, we own a business together. Now, I'm going to tell you this to show you what unrighteousness, this and all in the law, liberty brings. I had an account in Miami that had 30 trucks, huge trucks, that needed oil changed. That's $300 a pop times 30. That's $9,000. Just to teach you what I missed out on. That's $9,000 in 2 days. Guess what? I waited 2 months to make the phone call. Guess what? The window closed. Somebody else did it. I disobeyed. And I had God send me some business. He sent me some business. 30 trucks. Can I lift up my hands and say, God, where you at? Son, open the window for you. You asked me for a blessing. I did it, son. I waited 2 months. And I didn't even make the phone call. Jimmy did. He said, well, the window opportunity closed. I said, Jimmy, what's wrong with you? Why didn't you call him earlier? That's how obedience works, my friends. I can't complain and lift up my hands and say, why, God? I don't have the right to. I couldn't understand my happiness for years. I walked around disannulling His righteousness in me. I walked around disannulling it. There's no peace in that. Somebody, he texted me the other day. I've been texting her like a little kid now. They said, I want you to know I love you. Instinct, I love you too. It felt good. It wasn't in pretense. I don't know if I put it in cap locks or not, but I love you too. And then I put on there, by His stripes, I've been healed. I'm telling you, if you abide where He would have you to abide, it will change you forever. Don't meditate in parts of the scripture that you do not need. I'm telling you, do not do it. Ask Him where you belong. Ask Him what pasture. Ask Him what kind of grass you ought to eat. Bahia, Floritan. Ask your Father, man. Ask Him. Daddy, where would you have me to dwell? I needed to know through His Word, through His convincing, that I was healed from A to Z. No matter what happened to me years ago, I've been healed from it. I lived too long in accusation. Satan accusing me that I had to walk around hurt. That I've been betrayed so I can hold a grudge against people. My friends, I have not been betrayed. Because this man named Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago bore the price for my freedom. There's always been bloodshed for freedom. The black man was set free. It's always talked about slavery, but my friends, I tell all the black kids, hey, you're right. White people had you in slavery, but some white people came and shed their blood for your freedom. Civil War, World War I, World War II, bloodshed. But the ultimate blood sacrifice for freedom was this man named Jesus Christ. Not only did he save me from sin's dominion, not only did he save me and write my name book in the Lamb's Book of Life, but he healed me of every single betrayal and hurt that's ever come against me through his blood and his stripes. I have every right, and I will, along with you, by my side, walk according to the law that brings liberty. That, my friends, is faith. Faith is hearing what's inside. Working out that faith and making it complete is hearing first, doing what you hear, applying it to the situation, walking your salvation out. That, my friends, is faith with works. Faith without works is you hear it, you disannul it, and the rest of your life, if you continue in that path, will be absolutely useless. Faith with works is nothing more, according to James, than hearing the instruction of the Almighty God and applying it to your life. You want proof? I'll show you proof, buddy. I've gone through James many a times. You want to get it on? Let's go. Was not Abraham, 2:21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? 23, and the scripture, I said faith, according to James, means conviction. Conviction without works is dead. And I told you that what that means is that you hear the word of God, you do the word of God, and you produce something. I'm going to prove to you through the scriptures that faith is nothing more, according to James, than hearing the instruction of God, hearing the conviction of God, and working out that conviction. That equals victory in our life. Verse 23. We're talking about faith. We're talking about works. And verse 23, the scripture was what? Fulfilled. And what was fulfilled? The scripture was fulfilled. It says Abraham believed what? God. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Abraham heard the audible voice of God. Abraham heard it first. Abraham applied the audible voice of God, and his faith became complete. Scripture, my friends, fulfilled. That was qualified as him being a man of faith. Me and you as born again believers, we hear the unction, faith, conviction, righteousness. If we disannul it, our faith in our lifestyle is useless. But when we hear his instruction and we receive it with meekness, we're blessed in everything that we do. Faith without works is dead. You hear it, you disannul it, you're fruitless, my friend. Because righteousness, purity, came out of our well, and we kicked it to the curb. We have no right to lift up our hands and to complain and murmur. He said, and the scripture was fulfilled. Abraham heard God. He applied what he heard. And he was called the friend of God. Word, heard, word, fulfilled, friend of God. And I don't have to tell you about Abraham. He was a father of what? Many nations. We want God's best in our life. To faith, conviction without works is fruitless. The external word begot me and you. The external word became internal and grafted. And it cries out of our spirit, Amber. Son, this is the way you turn. Son, this is what you do. This is how you love. This is what you do. Hear my instructions, son. Apply. apply my instruction, daughter, and you'll be blessed. You'll be blessed in all that you do. Listen to this. You'll be blessed. You'll be blessed in all that you do. If what, Jesus, you hear, you receive with meekness what you heard, you do what you heard, son, you will be blessed in all that you do. Right now, America, the world, they say we're in a recession. But the Bible says that we're peculiar people. That means when there's no rain, we receive rain. When there's famine, we eat. But still, the majority of the body is still struggling like the world. There really is no separation. Something's wrong. I'm a person I know. I won't serve under another man that don't pray in tongues. I never really understood that statement by Pastor Brunt, but he's so true. But I believe you can learn from everybody. I heard Joel Osteen. I don't hear him much, but I did hear him this one particular day. He was talking about Christians struggling financially. And I guess he has a lot of contractors in his church. And he said, you contractors that are complaining about lack of business. And he said something so minute, but so powerful. Let me ask you a question. You pray for God's blessings in your life. You're going through financial difficulties. He said, when do you return the phone call from your potential customer? That same day or a week later? I learned from him the importance of calling people back. That is unheard of nowadays in the business realm. Nobody calls anybody back. I've learned by hearing him and have been successful as a propane salesman on how important it is to call people back. Are we in famine as a body because we're not walking according to the inner witness? I know I missed out on the blessing because I didn't walk according to it. I asked God to send me some business. He sent it. I disobeyed his instruction. I waited 2 months before I did what I heard. Are we struggling because we're disannulling the inward witness? Or are we, that you might be struggling because of trial? I don't know. But is the body of Christ broke because we're disannulling righteousness? Are we doing what we have to do to obey our Father? He said we're peculiar. When there's famine, we eat. When there's drought, we drink. That's what His Word says. If we're not drinking, if we're not eating, if His Word's a liar, or we're disannulling something somewhere, we're disannulling it. He said, because the law of liberty is the law that brings liberty to situations. Faith without works is useless. Abraham believed God and it was accredited to him for righteousness. He believed God, applied God's voice, and fulfilled the scripture. We're blessed because wisdom abides in us. But it's just not meant to abide in us. It's meant to come forth from our spirit. Applying His righteousness, working out His righteousness, and being blessed in all that. Listen to me. If we apply, receive with meekness His instruction, listen to me. It's not my word. He said, you'll be blessed. You will be blessed in all. He said, you'll be blessed in all that you do. Somebody's missing it. Now you might, I can't speak for you. You might be going through a trial through your business. You might be, or you might be hearing and not applying. And make no mistake, in these closing words, there's got to be some form of peace in your life to hear His instruction. If there's turmoil and lack of prayer life, my friend, the only thing you're going to hear when he talks is to pray and to read his Bible. If there's no consistency in your life with him, 9 times out of 10, you're not being swift to hear. You can't. There's not enough peace in your life to hear what your daddy's saying. I've heard before, I'm making a stand for this, I'm making a stand for that. If you're making a stand in his bosom, rubbing shoulders with him, then yeah, that's a stand. But you can't make a stand for something and think that it's a stand outside of his bosom, outside of fellowship. Just because you remember a scripture and you're stubborn about a scripture doesn't mean you're making a stand. But if you're making a stand and you're rubbing shoulders with him in his bosom, that's a stand, my friend. That's a stand. Then you're making a stand for something. You're standing firm on God's word in his bosom. But you, just because you remember a scripture and it tickles your fancy and you can quote it and remember, doesn't mean you're making a stand if you're outside of fellowship with the Lamb of God. That's not a stand, that's ignorance. I learned that the hard way, out of ignorance. But wisdom cries forth, my friends. Me and Jimmy had a good talk today. We've been talking good about our confession. You know why sometimes it's so hard to say the right thing? Because it's not in our heart. It's not in our... I mean, you want to correct yourself. Everybody in here, everybody in a real nice way, along with me, we correct ourselves when we say something we're not supposed to say. I mean, everybody here has. Amen? Everybody? Don't say that. And then you catch them 5 minutes later saying the same thing, but you don't correct them. Just let them talk. You don't say that. I don't confess that. And then you hear them confess something negative 10 minutes later. You know why it's so hard to confess the right thing? Because we're not saturated yet. It still doesn't mean we can confess wrongly. Like Jimmy said today, he said, you know what? He said, you know, you almost feel like you're lying, because I said, no, I said, you're right, Jimmy. That's a great point. Well, I'm doing great. Well, you know, I'm not doing too good, which is the truth. I said, well, the word says by his stripes we've been healed. We got to saturate ourselves with the Almighty God, with his presence. And I do believe in watching what you say. I try my very best, to the best that I can, to watch what I say. I do believe that with all my heart. I do believe it, but we just got to saturate. The problem is not the confession. The problem is your heart. That's the problem. Now, it doesn't help to confess negative by no means, but you're confessing what you believe, really. But that's going to change. And it's changing daily through all of us, because faith, conviction inside of you is not a bad confession. Are you with me on that? His instruction is righteousness. His righteousness is never a bad confession. Never. Never a bad. His righteousness is always just that, righteousness. It's never a bad confession. So when I confess bad to an extent or confess wrong, no matter how you slice it up, my friends, it's wrong. Because there's nothing ever negative that comes out of our spirit that's from him. It's righteousness. It's integrity. It's the word of God. And if I confess contrary to what comes out of my spirit, my friends, it's sin. And I make him a liar. The more and more we put in, Ralph, the more and more we fill ourselves up with his word, the day will come where I don't have to watch what I say, because I'll freely speak words of power and victory that I'm saturated with. Faith, or conviction without works, my friends, is useless. We are peculiar people, set apart, aliens here for a season. We have been born again. The engrafted word abides in me and you. Abraham was just because he heard God, applied God's instruction. The Bible says he was a friend of God because he fulfilled Scripture through obedience. The word of God lies in our hearts and in our spirits, and it cries out to lead me and you, to prosper me and you. Let's look in the mirror. It's another teaching out of James about the nativity. Take forever. Let's look in the mirror. Let's judge our actions. Why is this going on in my life? Why, when the The Bible says that I'm a peculiar person, a holy nation. Why am I barely hanging on? Why doesn't my wife show me affection? Why doesn't my husband show me affection? Why don't my children want to serve Jesus? There's an instruction in your heart that's crying out that wants to fix that problem. We just got to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man, it does not work out the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God is what comes out of our spirit. And He wants you to hear it. And then after you hear it, He wants you to apply it, because He wants you blessed in all that you do. We are very well equipped, my friends. We are very well equipped. We are blessed. That's what separates our religion from every other religion on the face of this earth. We have always divine, undefiled instruction accessible to us anytime we want it. Everybody else has to do it by will. We got something holy and pure that comes out to lead me and you in the right direction, being blessed in all that we do. Faith, conviction without works is a man that's born again. A man that hears righteousness and kicks righteousness to the curb and does nothing with it. The Bible says that your faith is useless. It is useless, fruitless. Because in all essence, we're exalting ourselves over His Word. I'm leading you in the right direction, Rosie. I'm leading you in the right direction, Barbara. This is what you do, Amber. This is what you do, Terry. This is what you do. Well, God, blah, blah, blah. You're exalting yourself. I'm exalting myself over God's Word. I'm going to kick your thoughts to the curb, Jesus. I'm going to do it my way. He said, you are a double-minded man that receives nothing. That receives nothing from the Lord. Chapter 4 even goes as far as to call us an adulterer and an adulteress. Yes, he's talking to believers that disannul that born-again spirit on a consistent basis. He said, you adulterer and you adulteress. Do you not know that friendship with the world, any man or woman that makes himself a friend of the world, makes himself an enemy of God. Makes himself an enemy of God, not to the extent that he's going to kill us, but to the extent that he can't do nothing for you. Because you're asking and you're asking amiss. We have been born again. We're blessed, man. We're blessed. And I had to repent of some stuff in my life. And I'm going to tell you right now, and I'm closing in 5 minutes. I don't exactly walk. I'll be the first person to, I don't walk in exactly all the revelation that I have. Or the understanding, the so-called, I don't walk in it all yet. I don't walk in it all yet. But I strive for it. And I'll get up in the morning, and I'll hit that book again. Law of liberty means the law that brings liberty in a temptation or a trial. You're never alone, my friends. You are never alone. Wisdom is always there in your spirit, ready to lead you in the right direction. You tell me we're not blessed. Oh, tell me we're not blessed. The only thing I need is peace in my life. Be swift to hear. Purity. His righteousness in me is not secondhand, my friends. It is straight from the throne room of God. We lack nothing, but can have nothing if we choose to disannul. And it's hard sometimes, my friends, because it's so against what we've been indoctrinated with. But you want a perfect result, obey a perfect instruction. I pray to God that my daughter will heed my instruction to her and apply what I taught her and make the right choice in her life. If she doesn't, Daddy did his part. I ask my Lord for wisdom, like James said to do. I said, Lord, what do I do? This is what you do, son. And we've gotten along, not that we've always got along great, but she hangs around with us in the living room now, laughing with us, and she still talks to the boy, but he doesn't come to my house. Enough of that. Faith, conviction, without works, is dead. That's some good stuff, isn't it? Gotta hope the trucks need an oil change pretty soon. Man, dirty trucks. Dad, Lord, I need a blessing, Jesus.
Okay, son, 30 trucks in Miami, go do them.
I'll do them in 2 months, Jesus. I'll do them in 2 months. He supplied what I needed. I disannulled it. I won't disannul it again. Better believe that. I'll drive over to Miami if I got to. See, I'm getting a little comical and I feel him lifting off me already. I think he got his message across. We lack nothing, Mr. Matt. We lack nothing, Reuben. We lack nothing, Terry. He is our sufficiency. There'll be decisions that you'll be, conviction's going to hit you with this message. Certain things in your life, you're going to be faced with decisions. Go with righteousness. You'll be blessed in all that you do. You'll be blessed in all that you do. We're peculiar people. God is to be magnified and glorified through our conduct and through the peace that we walk in. He is our sufficiency, and He has equipped us with the born-again spirit and the Holy Spirit to make it in this world. In cruise control, my friends, we're not the struggle. We're more than conquerors through the blood of one man named Jesus Christ. And by those 39 precious stripes, we are healed, spirit, soul, and body. Amen. Bow your heads with me, please. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know what else? 1 minute, it's only 8:50. What else the believer that hears and applies? You know what he isn't? He is in a bittersweet well. His tongue, he keeps it in check. But the believer that hears and disannuls, according to James chapter 4, he's a bittersweet well. He cannot control his tongue. So we can judge our actions by that alone. One that hears and applies, he's not bittersweet. The wisdom that he walks in is from above. It's not earthly. It's not central. But the believer that's inconsistent, obeying the law of liberty, you can tell by his tongue by what he or she says, according to the book of James. Amen. We're blessed to be part of this church. I thank God every day. Let me rephrase. I thank God. And people have said that I worship Him, that He's my God. But I thank God that this man named Dave Roberson taught me another way on how to fall in love with Jesus Christ. had not been for his teachings, I wouldn't be married. I wouldn't be preaching. I wouldn't be saved. So I think it's always, he is the father of grant, he's just a man that, he's just a man, but a man that loves Jesus, and it's called to bring a great revival along with us. But his teachings have absolutely changed me forever. The meditation series on the tongues of fire, it's just the beginning of great things to come for us. Amen. Offering buckets, who's... Oh, all right, Mr. Ralph. Did you learn a little something tonight? Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor, we'll be back. It's Kathy. Saturday. He's walking in the sufferings of Christ right now as we speak. That's all. I'll just say that. I'm being sarcastic. Very sarcastic. Extremely sarcastic. I mean, it's sarcastic to a T. I'll let him tell you when he gets back. But God bless you. And I love you with all my heart. And we love each other and we're a family. The book of Acts, they worked miracles. They read the Bible. They prayed. And you know what else they did? They hung out together. They hung out together. Amen. And our heart cry is miracles. Our heart cry is knowing Jesus. Our heart cry is the Bible and praying. But our heart cry should also be each other. Amen. Stand with me, please. Hallelujah. Sunday night, 7 o'clock. We're going to have a blast. And don't forget to pray for Rex. Is he in a lot of pain, did they say, Kathy? Or? Yeah, he's pretty young. So remember Rex in your prayers too, okay? We're going to pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, we bless you. We thank you for all that you are. You are more, Jesus. You are more than enough to heal every situation. Quite the contrary, Lord. You healed every situation 2,000 years ago. Father, we submit to you and incline my heart, Lord. Just cause me. Whatever part in me doesn't want to surrender, I'll just incline our hearts, Father, and just surrender to your word completely. Surrender to worship, surrender to fasting, whatever it may be. Incline our heart, Father. Cause us to yearn for you more and more every day. So, Father, I bless you and I thank you for the offering we're about to receive, Father. We thank you that indeed it's sown in good ground, Father. We thank you that we're given just because we love you. We worship you. And we praise you. In Jesus' name. Amen. We'll see you Friday. God bless you. 7:30.